Just wanted to thank any and all listeners to these traditional Latin Mass homilies out there. I start my new parish this weekend, so I'm probably going to start putting these podcasts up on Monday, so the day after. And Wednesday, I'm going to try to put up a video. If you go to my blog, PadrePeregrino.org, that's under the status section. And Friday, hope to put up a blog. So Monday podcast from the day prior, Wednesday video, and Friday would be a blog. And that's just on the default page, also called Theology there at Padre Peregrino. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, and today Jesus is eating with the religious leaders of his time. But what's a little bit striking about this is he's not just eating with them, he's actually in the house of the chief of the Pharisees, and it's the Sabbath day. So they're watching him, and we hear, "Behold, there was a certain man before him that had the dropsy." Now, quick note, that's basically a swelling with water. I picture someone with congestive heart failure, but I didn't Google exactly what the dropsy is, so you can do that. But he had water swelling. And so Jesus says, answers the Pharisees and the lawyers, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" And the very next line is, "But they held their peace." Why? Well, they're holding their peace under the pretext of it being the Sabbath. And maybe there was some kind of superstition that you couldn't heal on the Sabbath. But the real reason they don't want Jesus to heal this man with this water swelling is because they're jealous of him, his power. He's God. And the people love Jesus. So Jesus heals him anyway, of course. Now, this healing wasn't going against his father's law. It was going against the Pharisees' customs. And again, today we're in Luke chapter 14, but I love a line from Mark 12, 14. One translation has the Pharisees say to Jesus, "You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are." Well, that's going to be the topic of today's homily, actually, is the Holy Ghost's gift of knowledge, which is to seek God above all things and to weigh all earthly things in light of this. And let's look at this humanly before we look at it spiritually. It wasn't that Jesus didn't want to connect with the Pharisees. It wasn't that Jesus didn't love the Pharisees. He actually loved them very much. He just loved his Father more. And that is the key to this homily early on. Jesus loved the Pharisees, but he loved his Father more. And that's our calling as Christians. So we're going to talk in this homily about how much we should actually care about what other people think about us. So most of my listeners out there are Catholics who take their faith pretty seriously, and so I'm going to put everyone on a little spectrum that I made up here. First is relevant, second is inspirational, and third is weird. So relevant, inspirational, and weird. And I think that in some sense, we can put a lot of Catholics, maybe all Catholics who take their faith seriously in America these days, into one of those three. Now, relevant, this is when people try to be a cool Catholic, and then we'll go to the far other side of the spectrum here. Weird is this kind of this idea that the weirder you are, the more holy you are. And then in the middle, and I don't mean middle in the sense that it is kind of the bell curve of the population middle. I mean like the peak of a mountain between two valleys. Middle is inspirational, and that's the life of a saint. So let's go a little bit deeper into these terms, and you'll see why I want to use these. Relevant, we could really define as caring too much what people think. And weird, we could maybe define as not caring enough what people think. I think weird is sometimes a temptation for traditionalists. We see the world, it's on a crash course to destruction, and we retreat and pull out. And I understand. But we're going to see that that misses the naturalness and humility with which Jesus and Mary lived. And they didn't just live, they lived in a broken world a lot like ours. And then relevance, let's look at the other side of the spectrum again, is when we try to make the gospel look so cool. And, you know, it's not the worst intention in the world, but we begin to think of what will win more souls more than what will please God. Think about it. It sounds good to win souls, but the first great commandment comes before the second great commandment. The first great commandment, as I say a lot, is to, well, as Jesus said, but I try to repeat, to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, strength, and mind, which comes from Deuteronomy. And the second great commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. But we can't invert those. And Jesus, in today's gospel, he won't have any of that. As I said earlier, he loves the Pharisees, but he loves his Father more. Jesus doesn't try to please people. And ironically, the whole world follows him. Why? Because he's doing the will of the Father, who is the creator of the whole world. And Jesus is too. He's the second person of the Trinity. And so what this shows us today is that the world is looking for an inspiration. They're not looking for relevant Christians. They're not looking for weird Christians. They're looking for an inspiration. And the only way to be an inspiration is to do the will of the Father. Today, or rather this weekend, depending on when you're listening to this, Mother Teresa is being canonized. And let me tell you a quick story. You know, at one point she was taking a little kid into a bakery there in Calcutta and asked the owner of the bakery for something for this young boy. And the owner of the bakery spit in her face, and she wiped the spit out of her eyes and said, "Well, that was for me, but do you have anything for him?" And I love that story because it shows just how she lived her life with a naturalness and a humility, but a humility that was not against, obviously, having a sense of humor. So it wasn't that she went around Calcutta with an arrogance or a holier-than-thou attitude. I remember walking around with the nuns in Calcutta, and when I wasn't with them, the Muslims, I lived in the Muslim part of town for about a month, a year and a half ago, they were actually more respectful to me than some towns I've lived in Colorado, but they didn't get out of my way, where when I was walking with the missionaries of charity, all the Muslims and Hindus and Catholics got out of the way and just had the most joy and respect for those missionaries of charity. And I think just that spirit of Mother Teresa overflowed into all of her nuns. And so she didn't try to please anybody. She tried to please God, and they saw this in her. You know, Mother Teresa spoke really clearly on tough issues that the West didn't want to hear about. But even then, she had an ability to reach people's hearts because she was in such union with God. I think it was the late 80s she did a valedictorian speech at Harvard. Maybe that's not the right word, valedictorian, but she gave the main speech at Harvard, and she preached against abortion. And she got a standing ovation in Harvard at the late 80s from a student body that I assume was mostly pro-choice. Why? Because they were moved at the sight and the sound of a saint. There was an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the whole place. So what we see is Mother Teresa was relevant because she was not trying to be. Let me say that again. Mother Teresa was relevant because she was not trying to be. Mother Teresa became an inspiration to the world not because she helped the poor alone, but because she was a walking image of Jesus, or more likely, Mary. And this probably came through her numerous holy hours a day that she made before her Eucharistic Lord. Once there was an Englishman making a movie about her, and there simply wasn't enough light in one of the little homes in Calcutta that she was entering to bring evangelization or the good news of the gospel or food. And as the cameraman noticed this, he was just going to turn his camera off, and Muggeridge, the one who was producing this film, said, "No, hold on, look at her." And they both admitted there was a light coming not off of her, but through her. And really, this is actually the Byzantine East definition of a saint, is one who glows. I don't mean that in the kind of a shallow sense. That's literally one of the Eastern definitions of a saint, is one who glows or one who shines. So let's get back to this term, relevance or weird. Was Mother Teresa weird? Well, she was wrinkled, and she was about the size of Yoda, and she spoke English with a half Albanian and half Indian accent. And that is weird. But besides that, no, she was natural. Was she relevant? Well, she became relevant, but I can tell you, she didn't really care about that. A friend recently sent me a great quote from G.K. Chesterton. Chesterton writes, "Each generation seeks its saint by instinct and not what the people want, but rather what the people need. Therefore, the paradox of history is that each generation is converted by the saint who contradicts it most." Therefore, the paradox of history is that each generation is converted by the saint who contradicts it most. That's G.K. Chesterton. Okay, so to sum it up, Mother Teresa was first an inspiration because her whole goal in life was to do the will of the Father. And, you know, I wouldn't suggest anyone do this without a spiritual director, but she even took a personal vow under pain of mortal sin to never deny God anything that she felt the inspiration to do, even the smallest inspiration to, say, give up an ice cream cone or something. I don't think she ate a lot of ice cream. But any small inspiration, she took a personal vow to please God in that. So Mother Teresa became relevant because she didn't care what people thought of her, just like Jesus in the gospel today. Mother Teresa sought, first of all, surrender to the will of God in all things, and then to comfort the heart of Jesus. And in doing that, she accidentally comforted the heart of almost the whole world. So let me just summarize my homily in two closing sentences. One, try to please God, not man, and you will be a saint. Two, if you become a saint, you will make many people confused at you, but it will eventually bring them closer to God, even if it happens after your death. So we must be faithful on earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.